In God's providence, we were able to witness a baptism today, and our text is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 26, that mentions being baptized into the body that we call the church. Now, we're working through 1 Corinthians. We've looked at 1 Corinthians 12. We're beginning this section on spiritual gifts that the apostle mentioned. And when this question of gifts comes up, there's always the discussion about the place of superiority and inferiority. Questions of which gifts are most important or which gifts are the ones that people would want to see. And there's something of a pecking order in the minds of people as they think of spiritual gifts. Paul spent some time talking about the supernatural or these extraordinary gifts, but I want you to understand that all members within Christ's body, the church, are endowed with gifts from the Spirit of God. So there's some that are encouragers. There's some that motivate others. There's some that disciple. Some pray fervently. There are those that feed the hungry, or those that have a special heart for visiting the sick, or there are those that have a special care for our young people. There are teachers. There are those that are equipped financially to support various ministries and causes. You see, the Church of Christ is made up of this variety of people from different backgrounds and different cultures with different skills and different giftings from God. Our text, as I mentioned, is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 26. And in this text, it's a rather long text, but in this text, we're confronted with this fact. Those who are in the body of Christ, those that have been baptized into one body, are called to embrace the differences of gifts and positions and skills rather than promoting division within the church. And that's the main problem here in Corinth. There are those, as we've looked at, I don't know how many sermons we've had in 1 Corinthians. Somebody out there probably does. We've had many sermons. And we see the big problem in Corinth has been a promotion of division or a promotion of self rather than an embracing of the whole with various gifts and backgrounds and cultures and all of those things that come together in Corinth. So this is what the Apostle Paul here is promoting as he begins to teach about spiritual gifts. And I'll read it again because it's really his thesis here. Those who are in the body of Christ have been baptized into one body. Therefore, we are called to embrace differences of gifts and position and skill rather than promoting division. So this truth unfolds in Corinth, and we're told that we are one body. And we have, as one body, we have this theological unity that is based upon agreed to truth. So we're one body. And as one body, we understand that we are one in Christ, that in Christ we have this system of doctrine, this teaching founded upon the Word of God. That is our unity as the people of God. That is that which brings us together as the people of God. But in that, one body, one theological unity, agreed upon truth, union with Christ, with that, there is diversity of gifts and talents and background and skill set and culture and personal emphases or positions. This is what the church is meant to be. One body, unified, with various functions in diversity. This is what we see all through the New Testament. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. For we have many members in one body, but the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Or Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. He put all things under his feet. That's everything under Christ's feet. And gave him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him who fills all in all. Or Ephesians 4, 4 through 6 and 16. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, from whom, so that's the unity, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, supplies according to the effective work, working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body and the edifying of itself in love. That's the diversity. So this unity in diversity is seen throughout the New Testament as we come to understand what it means to be a church of Christ under Jesus Christ, who is King and head of the church, the one who unifies us, the one in whom we have union, and yet from there flows a diversity that is good and right according to the Word of God. So unity in diversity, and because there's one body with various gifts and diversity of many things, this objective reality produces fruit in a congregation. So this truth produces fruit. What is the fruit of this truth? There's unity in Christ. There's diversity, gifts, talents, cultures, all these things. What is the fruit that that truth produces? The first fruit that we see of unity and diversity this morning is verses 14 through 18, where we see the fruit of contentment. We see contentment. 14 through 18 says, "For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, am I not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he's pleased." We are called, you are called, to contentment in this fact that there's unity and diversity within the body of Christ. You're to be content with where God has placed you, and you are to be content with the giftings that he's given you, as well as the giftings that he has given to others in the church. Again, look at 14. The body has many members, not one. So because of your baptism, because you've been brought in to the Lord Jesus Christ, brought into that body, which we call a church, because of that, you have a place within the kingdom of God. You have a place within the people of God, that outward covenant of grace, that community that is called together. And friends, in a healthy church, in a growing church, especially in an area like ours, if we were in like a town of 300 in the middle of Iowa, it might be different. But in a city like ours, in a neighborhood like ours, there ought to be in the church reflecting health. There ought to be differences of background and emphasis and culture and giftings and things that we focus on and things that we love. Now, we have unity of theology, and we work from that same system of doctrine. That's our unity. But from that unity, there will be diversity of other things, especially diversity of giftings. Many members, not one. And in verses 15 through 16, the apostle shows why you ought to be content with this fact. And he does it kind of in a funny way. He says, if the foot should say, I'm not a hand. Or if the ear should say, I'm not an eye, then I'm not part of the body. Because as an ear, I was hoping to be an eye. Or as a foot, I was hoping to be a hand. And Paul says, we are to be content with our giftings and the things that the Lord has given to us, that we may serve the Lord in the advancement of his kingdom. Now, this whole idea of the talk between the eye and the ear and the foot and the hand, and the eye wanting to be the ear and the foot wanting to be the hand, it sounds a lot like Frankenstein's monster, doesn't it? Who would imagine a body? There's probably 130-some people in this room. Who would imagine a body of 130 ears? Or who would imagine a body that was no ears and no hands and no foot, but it was 130 eyes? You say, that's a monster. That's not a body. It's not a person. And this is what the Apostle Paul here is getting at. He's saying that in the church, a desire for monolithic sameness is not healthy, because it is not a reflection of the body. We all have differences, and there's some things that we think about differently, and there's things that we emphasize differently, and there's gifts that we have and that we live out differently, or talents that are used unto the kingdom of God differently. And here in Corinth, there's all sorts of complaining about those differences. And the Apostle Paul comes in and he says, contentment, church. Contentment with these things. See, look at verse 18. You are set within the body of Christ. What's the phrase? As God pleases. As God pleases. You can look around. I know we're Presbyterians, but you can move your heads and worship. And you look around and you see a diversity of things, and we could start naming different things that people focus on and different things that they're good at and that they want as the major emphasis in the way ministry unfolds. And we could look at that and we could say, I don't know if we can control this. I don't know if this is a good thing. And we're reminded here of contentment because God has set up this church as he pleases. This is God's work among us, church. And it's very important to find that contentment. You are called to have this contentment with various gifts and various diversities in the church, because God has set it up. He set up the body as he pleases. But we're called to more than just contentment here. Because you might say to yourself, you know, Pastor Nathan, I am content. And I don't have a problem with that contentment. But can't I just do my thing? Do I really need to care what the other people are focused on, or the care about the things that they care about? And we see that we do care. And we do acknowledge. Look at verses 19 through 21. 19 through 21 says, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? Now indeed, there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So secondly, the second fruit of unity in diversity that we see in this text is dependence. Dependence. We depend upon one another as the body of Christ. And this lesson that he puts forward is very important. Where would the body be if all were one member? For a body to function properly, a body has various parts: eyes and ears and hands and lungs and tongues and a heart, and it has those parts that make up things that we can't even understand down to the, or that I don't understand, down to the cellular level. All of these things make up the human body. And Paul wants you to think through human anatomy 101. You can maybe go home, and if you have anatomy from college or from high school, you can pull that book off the shelf and flip through that book and say, this is an illustration of the church. This is how God has designed the human body for interdependence, and this is how God has designed the church for interdependence with one another. All of these parts working together for the benefit of one body. Now you can think of it like this. Maybe you've heard of autoimmune diseases. Autoimmune diseases are diseases where the immune system, which is supposed to attack germs and attack viruses and attack bacteria that come into the body, in an autoimmune disease, the immune system turns, and instead of attacking these germs and viruses and bacteria, it turns and it attacks healthy cells within the body, causing sickness rather than health. And this is an example of malfunction rather than function. And the human body, because it's designed for interdependence, requires function rather than malfunction. So look at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. This is that truth that is put forward in the text. There's various gifts, there's various backgrounds, there's various emphases, there's diversities that we need within the body of Christ. It's something where we depend upon one another to see those things develop and flourish within the body of Christ. We need the one who keeps the importance of missions before the congregation. We need the ones that keep pro-life ministries before the congregation. We need a pastor that's going to preach the Word of God to the congregation. We need elders that are shepherds of our congregation. We need deacons that are servants of our congregation. We need those that share the gospel on Lake Eola. We need those that share the gospel on that corner over fine cups of coffee. We need adults that invest into the lives of our teens. We need those with a heart to teach Sunday school. We need those prayer warriors that will probably never be up here but are doing much more for the kingdom of God in their closet. We need those that love through cooking and feeding people. We need those that open their homes for hospitality. We need those that encourage one another with a useful word at a specific time. We need those that help each other. We need those that visit those that are shut in their homes. All of these various emphases and diversities of gifts come together and make up a vibrant, healthy church. And congregation, we are dependent upon one another. Imagine if this church, the only thing that we had in this church was that people came and they heard the word of God faithfully proclaimed, and they just went out into the community and into their homes, not loving one another, not caring about their communities, and just living like hell. That would show that this pulpit is of no value. But at the same time, imagine if people were very kind and loving to one another and the word of God was never opened. Friends, we need one another in the various gifts and callings that God has brought before us. This is the truth of this text. We have one system of doctrine. We're Christians. We're Christians that understand the scriptures from that system of doctrine that we call Reformed theology. And from that same system of doctrine, Christian, in Christ, Reformed in our understanding, from that unity is this diversity of many things that will work itself out in various ways in the life of a healthy and vibrant church. And look at verse 20. It says there are many members, but one body. And then 21 tells you that when you say, I have no need of you, you are part of a spiritual autoimmune disorder rather than part of the function of the church. Function rather than malfunction in the life of the church ought to be promoted. Corinth is a mess. We've talked about it a lot. They're fighting about what spiritual gifts are most important and what is the pecking order of value for their gifting. And they are failing both in unity and they are failing in diversity. And this text says there's dependence that must be seen and understood. Essentially, we could say this: we need each other, church. We need each other as the body of Christ. We need diversity in things that are willing to be under that unified system of doctrine that we all hold centrally. You know, in the ancient church, one of the symbols of Jesus Christ, and okay, we've been doing ancient church history in Sabbath school. It's all based around the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire is a whole empire focused around the Mediterranean Sea. The ancient symbol of Jesus Christ was the anchor, that one thing that stabilizes a whole empire looking to Jesus Christ. Various things, various ways that they were developing, but what stabilized them, the unity, that anchor of Jesus Christ. One system of doctrine, diversity in giftings and ministry. So we've seen contentment. God places us together. God determines giftings. God determines the various emphases. And we've seen dependence. We see that we need each other and we need the diversity of giftings that God calls us to gather to be a part of. But thirdly, this morning, I want you to see that in this unity in diversity, we are also called to promote protection. Verses 22 through 26 call on the body of Christ to practice protection of each other in the diversity of gifts and calling. Look at the text. No, much rather, those members of one body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts, greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. So what's Paul teaching here? He's not talking about weaker and stronger in the way that he previously did when he talked about meat sacrifice to idols and those that have a strong conscience versus those that have a weak conscience. He's not thinking in that realm. He's staying with the illustration of the body. He's using that same understanding. And he says, when you look at the body, there are some parts that are weaker and they require something that the stronger parts of the body don't require. So we could think of the fact that there are honorable parts, what Paul calls honorable parts, and there are unpresentable parts. And that's just the reality of the human body. We wear shoes. We wear shoes, but we don't always wear gloves. And we wear shoes because when we walk around, our feet can get damaged because we wear shoes. But nobody should look at the body and say, well, you're wearing shoes, therefore you must wear gloves. He says there's some parts that need it. Not all parts need it. Or you could think of the fact that when one goes into battle, the head and the heart are protected in ways that the limbs are not protected. Like if you would go in a VA hospital, you're going to see those that went into battle that are missing limbs. But you don't see anyone there that lost their heart or their head. Because those parts are protected in a certain way because you'll die. Or you could think of modesty. If somebody is going to kick you in a central region, there are parts that men will protect quickly as to not be injured in that way. Or things that are unpresentable in public, but in biblical language, you'd say they're honorable in marriage. And we could go on, and we could discuss both the physiology of the Bible, and we could talk about the expectations of modesty or the utilitarian nature of covering certain parts. And that's what Paul wants us to do. He wants you to just meditate on those things and to see how some parts of the body are seen honorably and some are less honorable. There's things that you cover and things that you don't cover, and there's various reasons why you must do that. But the point of all of that is that the body is called to protect the body. We don't expose one another. We protect one another. We do not exploit one another. We protect one another. We do not exclude one another. we protect one another. In verse 22, it says that there are some parts that seem weaker, but they're necessary. In verse 23, tells us that there are parts that are honorable and modest, and we protect those members, and we do that by bestowing greater honor on them, and we put greater modesty on them. You see, what is counterintuitive in human relationships, greater honor on the weaker, greater modesty on those things that need to be covered, that is counterintuitive. It's intuitive to expose and exploit differences. And Paul says we're creating a new community here that we call the church. And in that community that is being created, we are called to protect one another under Christ as part of that body that is his. He's saying, Corinth, do this. Protect one another. Because God has designed the body in this way. And he says the church is to reflect that under Christ. So you have a calling. Your calling is to know there's unity. It's in Christ. We're Christian. We have a system of doctrine that we call Reformed theology. We're united in that. And there's diversity, giftings and callings and various expressions of that in the church. And we are called to contentment. And we're called to dependence. And we're called to protection. And I want to think about that for a moment. We've witnessed a baptism. Maximiliano is going to grow up in this church, and he is going to seek to find a place within the body of Christ. And we're going to encourage him. We're going to support him. And he's going to grow up with a different background than many of us. He's going to speak Spanish in the home. That's different than some of us. He's going to have areas of life where there are certain emphases within his home and certain things that his parents expect of him that will be different than some of our other homes. And he's going to say, where is my place in this church? Where do I fit? Where is God calling me? How am I called to be a part of that? And we'll remember these vows. Vows to support and encourage parents, and vows toward little Maximiliano. And we'll remember this diversity and this unity. And friends, we are a growing body. New people come in, and they make vows, and they become part of this body, the church. They become part of this family that we call the Orlando Reformed Presbyterian Church, a very utilitarian name for a congregation. And they will unite themselves here with us. And thinking of this text, I want you to hear something. They become us. They become us. We are one body under Christ, one body that preaches the gospel, loves the Reformed faith, one body that centers what we do and centers what we teach on the Word of God. That's our foundation. We all stand there. And the they that come in become us. This is true for my family when we came. It's true of many of your families as you came in. And it's true of those that were baptized here in a similar way, probably from that same silver bowl 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. Say it, Joe. 75 plus years ago. They become us. Paul says that water brings us into a community. And that's how the body of Christ works. Diversity of background, different ethnicities, different social classes, some urban, some suburban, some rural, some that went to college, some that went to trade school, some that left high school and will never look back, some that grew up in Christian homes, others that did not, some that grew up in this congregation, others that grew up in the RPCNA and found their way to this congregation, and others that are new and fresh. That is the body of Christ. And some of you are prayer warriors. And you will uphold this church in ways that we will never know. Some of you are teachers and you disciple others in the church. A couple of us are preachers. We have some that God has called to eldership. You're the shepherds within the congregation. There's some that God calls to the office of deacon, and you manage a lot in a 100-year-old building, and you manage a lot in making sure that mercy ministry stays central to what we do. And others are going to organize other things, and some of you will minister in ways that have been going on for years and years and years. And others, you'll see new ministries that begin to pop up in the life of the church. And we'll see that the Lord will grow and expand. And in God's timing, we'll see churches being planted in Central Florida. And we will be the people that are able to look forward and say, we are one. We are one under Christ. We are one that stands on the Word of God. We are one in our understanding of that system of doctrine that we call Reformed theology. That's just how we understand the Scriptures. And yet we are diverse. And there's various things that we do and love and focus on. And friends, that will stretch us. And that's okay. The question for you is, what will you do with this truth that we are one people under Jesus Christ, one system of doctrine, with a diversity of giftings and ministries? And friends, it's super practical. We are to be content with what God is doing and what God has called you to do in the midst of us. And we're called to acknowledge our dependence on one another. We are a better church when we depend on one another. And we are called to protect one another in the midst of unity and diversity. And the applications in the text, look at verses 25 and 26. How does Paul conclude this? That there should be no schism in the body. Schism means division. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. See, the application is there. Let there be no division among us. Let us stand on truth. And be united. And in the diversity of giftings and callings and other matters, show care to one another, suffer together when one suffers, and rejoice together when one is honored. For you are part of the body of Christ, and that one body has many parts, and that is a good thing, that Christ may be most glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this practical word from 1 Corinthians. Lord, we know that there are so many ways that we can each grow in this truth. Help us to be firm in our understanding of the truth of your word. Let us be known as a church that loves truth and a church that loves to serve and loves one another. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing 133B. 133, this is the text that I read for our Old Testament reading. And now we will sing 133 selection.